Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I hope I don't offend any of you, but I'm kind of on a bit of a crusade here. I've been at this for a couple of decades now. I've got this thing that bugs me. And there were some things this week that reminded of me. You see, I'm running a campaign to get rid of Muzak. You know, we used to call it elevator music back in the day. You know, you used to hear it in the dental offices and the medical offices. You don't as much anymore. And I keep thinking this thing's going to go out of style. I mean, there for a while, you know, you had records. And when the records went out, I said, okay, we get CDs. There won't be CDs. But they made CDs of Muzak music. And I thought, well, it'll go out when people started doing all these streaming services. But no, they have streaming services of music. I thought, satellite radio will take care of it. There's even a couple channels on satellite radio where you can get Muzak. And you may ask, well, what bothers you about Muzak? Well, to me, it's not really music anymore. You take really good music, you know, and you sort of take all the flavor, all the excitement out of it and kind of make it. It's got all the notes in it, but it doesn't do what music's supposed to do. I remember the first time decades ago I heard Led Zeppelin on the elevator, and it's like, in music, it's like, what happened? I mean, you know, it wasn't the same thing anymore. And I think that's true of all genres. I've heard Muzak with country music. I've even heard Muzak with bluegrass, believe it or not. And classical. And it just doesn't matter anymore. Because for me, music is something of passion, you know. Music, even music that excites you, still kind of moves you. It catches you up in it. It gathers you and takes you somewhere. Think about your favorite music. Whatever genre you happen to like, you know, doesn't it kind of transport you, particularly if it's music you remember from when you were younger, or music of your time, as we used to say. You know, the first three notes and you're gone. Certain music I play or it comes on the radio, June doesn't even talk to me for a couple minutes because she knows I'm not paying attention. I've been transported back to the 60s and 70s, you know. Isn't music have a power? A power to motivate, a power to catch us up, a power to involve us. And to me, Muzak does none of that. So I'm sorry if you like Muzak, but I just want to get rid of it, you know, and bring music. Let the music have the passion. Let it move us. Let it motivate us. Well, you're probably wondering, why am I going to talk about music today? Well, I'll be honest. Part of it is because up where I live at Bryce, right a few miles down the road, is the Shenandoah Valley Music Festival, and it started this weekend. And I was at both concerts. And they were very different. Let me tell you, Friday night was Home Free, which is an a cappella group, a lot of country, a little bit of other stuff, a little bit of dance music, that kind of thing. They do everything vocally. Even the instruments are vocal sounds. The guy does a drum solo using vocal sounds. It's, you know, it's a style of music. It's different than some people like, some people did. But everyone there got into it. It was kind of hard not to. It was infectious, the enthusiasm with which these people sang music and the beauty with which they did it with, too. You know, made it great. But it wasn't the fact that they had all the notes right. They brought out what the music was all about. The joy, the dancing. They had people up and dancing and moving all around, you know, of all ages. And I think that's great. I think that's what music should be. And then Saturday night, a completely different thing, they brought in the Piedmont Orchestra from Charlottesville and a rock band and did Pink Floyd. Now, they didn't do a sanitized version of Pink Floyd. They did Pink Floyd, including the whole Dark Side of the Moon thing, you know, the whole album nonstop. And they did it loudly, but that's the way that music's meant to be played, and did it with passion. And everybody there was up and dancing and moving around because they got caught up in the music, especially for me because some of that music came out when I was in college and seminary, so it's music of my time. It had a passion and a movement to it that you could just feel. It was a feeling. You could feel the crowd both nights, different music. But what was shared was the music and the people performing it had a joy and a passion that invited you into it. To me, that's music. Not the notes. I'm trying to learn to play guitar, and I'm not so good at getting the notes together, but occasionally I do hit the right notes, you know, when I play something, get the right chords. But it's not quite music yet, because I don't seem to be able to convey the feelings of the song. I know it takes time and practice, and I'll get there eventually. But whether it's bluegrass, or it's country, or it's classical, or it's rock and roll, all music has that ability to give a power, to draw us into it, to we step into the songs and music, you know? That's why music is so powerful. To drop that of music and just make it bland, to me, is just ought to be wiped out, you know? So that's part of it, if you haven't been to music. But the other thing is, to me, that's similar to what I think our lessons are talking about this day. If you think about them, they're about a God that doesn't sort of stand back and just say, well, I gave you the law. I'll just kind of let things roll along for a little bit here. No, they're talking about a God who is passionate about his people. Woe to you shepherds who've led my people astray. I will take care of it. I will do these things. You notice how that comes up. And notice the 23rd Psalm. It's about a God who gives us shelter from our enemies, prepares a place for us, walks with us to the valley of the shadow of death. It's not a God on the sidelines playing music. It's a God that's deeply involved in our lives. That's talked about there. And in our second lesson, where Paul makes the dramatic proclamation that those who were on the out are now in the in, and those who were considered undocumented aliens are now part of the family. It's a profound message of a God who does not stand aside, who is not just sort of there, but involved. Now, if you know history, you know there was a stretch, and some of the founders of our country were involved in that, in a thing called deism, which was sort of like a God who just sort of, and I'm sorry, younger folks, but this is the only analogy I have, they sort of wound the clock up and started it. And now we don't wound clocks anymore, but maybe your parents can explain that to you. But anyway, we always have to wind our clocks up if you're old enough to remember that. Well, they thought of God that way. God's someone just sort of wound the universe off and lets it run. The Bible says God is compassionate and passionate about his people. And that's nowhere more true than our gospel is. Jesus gets tired. And that's good news for us to remind us that if Jesus got tired and needed to go on vacations and pull away, maybe you and I do too. That it's not a bad or guilty thing to sometimes get away. But even then, it says when Jesus saw the crowd, he was moved to compassion for them. That's the proper translation. I think it used to be translated pity. But pity is something you can have and feel superior to someone. Like, I had pity on them. Pity the fool, to use Mr. T's language from long ago. You know, but to have compassion means that you're involved with that. You're moved. And literally, the word English means compassion, with passion. So to have compassion means to be involved, to be fully connected, to be on the same level with someone and to care about them. That's like music. You can play music and get the notes right, but if you don't have the passion, you don't convey the power of the music. And I think we don't really recognize God unless we recognize a God of passion, a God who's involved in our lives, a God who didn't just come 2,000 years ago and say, okay, I've been here, but chose to come then to look us directly in the eyes and share our lives and continues to come in the Spirit to share our lives with us because God is passionate about us. He's not a sideline God. He's not a make things kind of simple. We didn't just give the law, because the law was easy to manipulate, Paul tells us in the lesson. But God himself gets involved in life. And I think that's the call for us as disciples. It's not to have pity or look upon other people in need, but to be moved with passion for others. To get caught up in the lives of others. To get caught up in caring for one another. To not be reserved on the sides, but to jump in. Like people Friday night, they didn't care if they looked foolish. I'm sure I looked a little crazy a couple of times moving to the music, as I may not have the greatest rhythm in the world. But that's not the point. It's being moved by the message of the music, whether that's in tone or words. It's being moved by the power of the gospel that we get up and dance, we get up and join the song, we get involved in it because God has chosen to get involved with us. That's the religion. That's the faith that we proclaim as Christians. Not a God at a distance, but a God who gets up there and dances with us and shares life with us because he is passionate for the sake of death about us. And his music is not music. It's music. It has passion and power to move us and to move us into the dance of music with one another. I don't know what genres of music. I expect it's pretty varied among us if we took a poll of what we really like. But I hope there is some music that moves your soul, that touches your life, that speaks to your past and your present and your future. And it's not music. It's fully powerful music. And I hope the faith and love and grace of God is powerful that way in us and empowers us to make beautiful music in our compassion for and with others. Music, not music. Amen.
Amen.